missing out on the love and the power that's in the Word of God. A lot of people are missing out on the anointing that's in the Word. And the anointing, did you know what the Bible says the anointing will do? Do what? Yeah, literally destroy the yoke. And the difference between breaking and destroying is you can break it and fix it, but you can't fix when it gets destroyed. Amen. It destroys the yoke, and what else does it do? It's a burden lifter. It lifts the burdens. Any of you know what a burden is? Man, I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, it just seems like we're just pushing up from the underside. But the Bible says, see, this is what we have to remember. When the Bible says something, you have to remember your circumstances have to bow. Amen. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. Amen. The blessings of God. Say this with me. Say, the blessings of God come after me and overtake me. Now, what does that look like? That means when I walk along just doing my own thing, God's blessings are coming after me, and they're coming after me faster than I'm going. It means once in a while I get run down by a blessing. Amen? Praise God. The blessing truck's coming.
Amen.
Amen. And for you, all of you, you know, I think everybody here right now knows that we're living in perilous times. The Bible says perilous times. Times when men's hearts are failing them for fear, for looking after the things that are happening on the earth. And, you know, Christians aren't immune to trouble. We're not immune to trouble. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. You'll have trouble. But then he said, stopped right after he said, you'll have trouble. I can just see him. In this world, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Because you know why? Because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I heard you say a little bit ago, we're more than conquerors. Didn't I hear you say that? Does anybody know what a conqueror is? He's an overcomer. That's what overcomers are, is conquerors. So when the Bible says you're more than a conqueror, how would you say that in a different way? What are you? An over-overcomer, right? And that fits with the Word of God, which says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask, been asking, but listen, or think. Did you know God cares about what you think? As He thinks in His heart, so is He. So today we're talking, we've been camping. We're like the children of Israel. We're in a place where we're camping, and we're not moving till the cloud moves. We're going to camp right here in the glory of God. I want to talk to you about glory. I want you to understand that glory is a mighty, mighty thing that God has given to His people. We talk about His holiness. Well, His holiness is surrounded by His... So in other words, we're going to say His kadosh is surrounded by His kavod. That's His glory. And the glory of God speaks of a weightiness, a heaviness, a magnificence. Say magnificent.
Magnificent.
Say awesome.
Awesome.
Glorious. Amen? We're talking about the glory of God. In John, the chapter 14, everybody have a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? Did you need a Bible today? Kathleen, would you hand her one, and maybe you can get one more back there? Good. Praise God. John chapter 14. We'll put these scriptures on the screen, but it's always good to take a Bible and look at what a pastor's saying. I believe this. I believe that what I say is from the Lord. I believe I'm giving you words that He's given me. But I also believe that He can take you way beyond what I say. I'm excited about that. That you can sit and listen to me, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will take something and just explode it in your heart. One word from the Holy Spirit can just arrest you and change you. And whereas you may have been fighting something, you may have been finding difficulty in overcoming something, when that word is revealed, all of a sudden you become mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. John 14, 15, you can read it in the translation you have, but I just want you to know that Jesus said this as the Amplified said it. This is what it really means. He said, if you really love me, if you really, say really, if you really love me, you'll keep and obey my commandments. If you really love me. Why do we talk really love me? Why is that important to even bring that up? Really love me. Well, don't we say I love you sometimes when we're not really even thinking about what we're saying? Not only to people, but to God. And what do we find out about love? You know, you can do someone wrong and then turn right around and say, yeah, but I love you. Doesn't mean much, does it? Yeah, but I love you. I've always loved you. Well, and the bottom line is that love is a verb, isn't it? And it has action involved with it. What we do really matters. And you know, in a church, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot could be done. Lots of things need to be done. In a congregation of believers, there's a lot of things to be done. And I don't know of many churches that don't feel, you know, somewhat overwhelmed with the amount to be done and the amount of people that are available to do things. And, the number of people that would say, you know, oh, I really love you, Lord, but, you know, I've got other things to do. Other things more important to do. And so, you know, we bring it up. It's not fun to hear, but it means something to hear once in a while that if we really love Him, we're going to want to be with Him, and therefore we're going to be where His people are. And we're going to want to be involved. Say involved.
Involved.
Involved. John 14, 21 says, He that hath my commandments, and that's everybody that's read this book, hid these commandments. The commandments, by the way, don't mean just those words that we think of as the Ten Commandments. But it is our manner of living that's based on the Ten Commandments, right? It's living after what He said. And what do we look like if we're living like the commandments? How are you walking? If you're really keeping the commandments, how are you walking?
In righteousness.
In righteousness, that's good. Carry it a little deeper. You're walking in love. Didn't Jesus say, first and great commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Say, all of my heart. With all of your soul. With all of your mind. With all of your strength. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And He says, he that does these things keeps all the commandments. And some smart guy someday said, oh, we don't have to keep this anymore because all we have to do is love. And yet, Jesus said, if you love, you'll keep all of this. Didn't He? How many of you know the words of Jesus in your Bible? Anybody know which words are the words of Jesus?
Red.
The red ones, right? Everybody thinks it's the red words. Well, did you know that's just the words He said when He was here on this earth? But your Bible is filled with the Word of God. All the Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You want a prophet? All Scripture. Now, admittedly, there are certain things you can't do. We don't offer sacrifices anymore. Who can tell me why? Because Jesus offered the ultimate and the only true sacrifice. And it was offered for the remission of our sins. And so we don't do that because He fulfilled the law of sin and death. Isn't that right? He took away the law of sin and death. Now, there's another law that's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it's based upon the instructions given in this book. Every instruction is valid. That means you're supposed to take care of widows and orphans and poor people. That's why we have a tzedakah box, because we want to keep that commandment. It means that we're supposed to honor our parents. That means we don't neglect them in their old age. It means we help them. Kim, I know you've been spending some time. And, you know, it's not easy always as our parents grow old. Henrietta's mother's 91 now. My mother's 85. They live right back to back in condos. Yeah, it's handy. It's handy. But I'll tell you what, when I go see them, I run my legs off. I really do. Now, they get together too, but you know, there's a lot of time we're just running back and forth. But we honor them. And I started out right on that. And by the way, if you have children, don't you let them call you old man. Joe, don't let those kids call you the old man. You're not the old man. I don't care if you called your dad that. You just repent. And We don't do that. We don't call the mother the old lady. We don't talk back to them when they're little. I still wouldn't talk back to my mom. 5 foot nothing. And I don't talk back to her. I never did. She taught me right. Something lacking in this day and age. We've let our children sass and smart mouth. And we thought, well, that's just kind of letting them express themselves. Yeah, it's letting them express hell. And it's not what we want. So we keep the Word of God. We keep the Word. We keep what He says. We believe it. It's what Jesus said. He that hath my commandments, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He loves me. People that love me do what I say. People that love me want to be where I am. I've told the story about when I was going with Henrietta, how I'd drive the tractor, and I could smell the fragrance of Henrietta on that old diesel tractor. Now, you know, I wasn't really smelling her, but my mind could still go back to that sweet smell that I'd been with the night before. Why? I loved her. I loved her. And I thought I loved her as much as you could ever love anyone. But you know what? I just find out I keep loving her more and more and more. As time goes on, I get amazed. We did a renewal ceremony for Steve Unruh's parents last night. I don't know if any of you know Steve. He used to be the pastor of the Hot Sulphur Springs Community Church. And his parents celebrated 50 years of marriage. Sweetest people you ever want to see, Gary and Lila. And we did the ceremony for them last night. And I, you know what I could see? I could just see his love just oozing for her, just loving her in the same way. And afterward, he kissed her. And I mean, he just really got into it, you know. He kissed her, leaned her back, and he really planted one on her. And I asked him later, I said, was that better than the first ceremony? He said, we didn't even get to kiss at the first ceremony. You know what I said about religion? They were brought up in a real strict Mennonite church. He said, our wedding was a part of the Sunday evening service, and two of us got married at the same time. He said the women were sitting on one side, the men were sitting on the other side, and we got up and came together at the front. They went through the vows, and when it was over, okay, you're married, go sit down. And he said, there were two of us got married that night, two couples. Said, nobody kissed. That was not allowed. That's all free. I just gave you a little information. Somebody says, are you trying to be legalistic? No, thank you. We're not trying to get into anything legalistic with God's Word and His Torah, His law. Amen? It's because we love Him. It's because we love Him. He says, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now this is a promise. You ought to be reading this just as much as you read, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. Lord, you said you would manifest yourself to me. Repeat the words. What do? We confess the word to get the word in our ears, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And so we say what we believe. And people that want to be quiet about their faith, listen, they're robbing themselves. In fact, true faith can't be quiet. True faith talks. True faith speaks. It says what it believes. You say, well, who do I say it to? You. But you know what? It's going to overflow. People are going to see it, going to feel it. He says, he it is that loveth me and shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him. That's because he wants to be with us. And I will manifest myself to him. Amplified says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. And I've heard you say, that's what I want, Pastor. I want to clearly see God. I want him to make himself real to me. Don't you like it when those special times come and you're just aware of him being there? Most of you know what that's like. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road and he's so real in the car with me. You know, I know he's here, but you know, I kind of talk to him like he's sitting in the passenger seat. And we just talk. Just have conversation. Just talk to him. I got to tell you a little secret. That's where prophecy started getting easy for me. I began to prophesy when I was alone with him. Just began to prophesy and began to speak out. And you know what prophecy is? Let me tell you what prophecy is in a believer. Some of you won't believe this, but prophecy is just beneath the surface. It's there and it's just ready to come out. And if you'll start just allowing the Holy Spirit to move. Now, it's all right to judge it. If something comes out that you know doesn't sound like the Word of God, reject it. But I can just almost tell you that if you're loving on God and begin to let prophecy will begin to come forth from you, and it'll just be as accurate as it can be. And you say, what good is it? Well, the Bible says prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And I've never had it fail. It always builds me up. That's right. It always stirs me to do more, and it always leaves me feeling well. Amen. Comfort. Praise God. He says, I'll let myself be clearly seen. Clearly seen. I'll make myself real. I'll make myself real. That's what glory's about. We're not talking about some, you know, people have all kinds of weird ideas about what glory is supposed to look like. And, you know, part of it's accurate from the Word of God. We know that fire, have you ever heard of fire? Well, sure, there was a pillar of fire in the Bible, wasn't there? And we're going to talk about another incident when the fire came today. But there's fire, but there's the cloud. And have you ever heard of people being in a church and a cloud appear among them? That, you know, get so thick that they can't see. Well, that's a manifestation of glory. But I want to tell you something. You need to remember about the temple. Where's the temple? Yeah. Everybody put your hand right here. Say, I am the temple of God. I am a living stone. Built up
into a house
for God. Oh, yeah. God lives in you. If you're born again, He lives right in the middle of you. He's there all the time. You say, but Pastor, why don't I hear Him all the time? Why can't I hear Him? Well, because you got your ears tuned to what's going on around you and outside. You need to turn it in. And that's what the Word does. The Word turns us inward into the spirit man. The spirit man, see, the Bible says, the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And so that's where we're coming to. Now, this glory that God has is prophesied. It's prophesied throughout the Bible. And let me just read you four scriptures. Numbers 14:21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Psalm 72:19. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ryan, do you have any idea how much of the earth is covered with the ocean's water? 75%. How much? 75%, he says. Now, I'm not going to argue with him because this boy pays attention. You know, but it's certainly from 2/3 to 3/4 of the earth's surface is covered with the waters of the sea. How many oceans are there? Is there 7 oceans or 5 oceans? 7 continents and 5 oceans, right? And, you know, who knows what God calls them? He may say there are 7 of them, for all I know. Pretty hard to tell the difference between the Pacific and the Indian and the Atlantic and the Indian where they come together. The Arctic Ocean. Because there's not a dividing line between them, is there? But oceans. And God says, my glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How many of you have ever been out on the Pacific? Flown across it? I'll tell you, you take off and head across the Pacific. The Atlantic's long, but you get to land a lot faster. But you head across the Pacific. You're going to Tokyo. It's just like you forget there's any land anymore. You look out, if you can see, that's all you see is water. Water, water, water. God says, my glory is going to cover the earth like that. It's a lot. Finally, in Isaiah 40, verse 5, he says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I've read these four scriptures for at least the last 4 weeks. Why? Because as I say, we confess the scriptures that we're believing for. Amen?
Amen.
We say what we're trusting for. If I want to get healed, what do? I don't just say, I wish I was well, I wish I was well. That's, somebody said, well, that's positive, isn't it? Yeah, well, sure, it's positive, but that's not, doesn't do me any good. That's just positive wishing, right? But if we confess God's word and say what he says, his word says, he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. So when I read that, I say, well, if he took them and he bore them, then I shouldn't be having them, right? Somebody said, yeah, but pastor, don't you know that everybody has these things? Well, I'm not buying that. I'm buying that only because people say that they have all these things. I'm saying, he took my infirmities. He took them. He bore them. I don't have to have them anymore. The scripture says he took my sins in his body on the tree. Do you believe that? Anybody here have doubts about that? No, we believe that. Did you know the last part of that scripture? 1 Peter 2:24? What does it say? Who took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes? Who said were? You're right. You were healed. Was one favorite minister of mine says, if I were, then I is. Right? If I were, then I is. I still am, right? I am healed. Say it. I am. Now, somebody said, yeah, but you don't know how I feel. Well, what do you want to do? Talk about how you feel, or do you want to talk about what God says you are? God says you are healed. You are healed. I've got problems, Pastor. Start talking the healing power of God over them. Start speaking them. You say, well, that just sounds like mind over matter. No, no. That's the Word of God over everything. The Word of God over everything. So we speak that. Now I want to see the glory of God. So what am I going to do? Oh, I wish I could see the glory. No, no. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. Show me your face, Lord, Moses said. Well, that's scripture, isn't it? He said, show me your glory. Show me your face. Show me your ways. So I pray like that. And then I begin to take these scriptures. Jesus, you said that if I would love you and keep your words and walk in them, that you'd manifest yourself to me. I'm keeping your words, Lord. I'm going to do what your word says. I line up. I agree with your words. And I'm lining up with them. And I have an expectation then that you're going to manifest. How? You know, that's his choice. But I want you to know, the cloud is what he does externally, but what he does here is what really counts. Have you ever had the cloud appear in here when you could hardly breathe? I've had it come upon me to the point where I felt like I was hyperventilating. I couldn't get a breath. It was so heavy on me. One time down in Grenada, we had been praying together, and all of a sudden that weight just came down on my body. Nobody else that was praying was particularly aware, except that I just was short of breath. I couldn't breathe. And finally, you know, I mean, I knew it was the glory of God. But you don't know what to do with it. It's so powerful. And it finally just kind of lifted up off of me. And I was sitting there, Lord, what was that? About that time, knock, knock, knock. There was somebody came to the door. And they answered the door, and this was a man. And I'm down there for like 2.5 weeks. And this man's knocking on the door, and he said, I heard that there was a minister from the United States on the island. And I wanted to talk with him. And he had been one of the people, for those of you who don't know the history of Grenada. Grenada, you know, was taken over by the Cubans. And the Cubans were trying to turn that into a, really a communist missile base, is what they wanted to do, right off of our shore, another one, because they knew they couldn't get away with it in Cuba. And there was a big revolution that took place there. And the United States went in. This was back during the Reagan era. And they rescued all of the people that were there, but they ran the Cubans out of there. The Cubans left. Well, this man had been put in prison by that communist regime. He had a permanent knot right in the middle of his head. I mean permanent. It had been there from being beat so many times. He had this protrusion that stuck out of his head. And he had been studying all kinds of foreign religions. He'd gotten very spiritual, studying religions. But he heard about this minister and he wanted to add one more religion, see, and he wanted to talk to me. Well, you know what I had, don't you? I had the good news and the power of God. And the man that came and his aide both got saved there in that step that day. Well, you say, why did the glory come? Well, obviously it was preparation, don't you see? The glory wasn't just to let me get goosebumps. Sometimes we like goosebumps, don't we? Woo, Lord, glory! You know, and we get to We like that. But you know, that's not what it's all about, people. The glory is to change you so that you glow like Moses' face. You say, people going to see me glow? They're going to recognize it, even though they won't know what it is. They'll know that. That's what the Bible says about the early church. It said they took note of them that they had been with the Lord. That's what I want, don't you? That's glorious. That's glorious. So God said, to kind of cap it off, that if we believe and obey, we will see the glory of God. How many of you are willing to say here today, I believe?
I believe.
Say, I will?
I will.
Obey?
Obey.
Do you mean it?
Yes.
Are you going to keep it up?
Yes.
If you'll do it, you will see the glory of God. Didn't say maybe. It said you will. You will see the glory of God. Now, let me get a little help for you here about faith. Faith is not something we just strain to do. If you're in that kind of situation, if something bad happens and you all immediately just, in the name of Jesus, you know, there's a pretty good chance that's not belief, but fear. You know, it sounds like it, you know, but it's not the same. See, because faith is really a rest. That's what the Bible says. In fact, the Scripture says it in Hebrews 4:3. It says, we which have believed do enter into rest. We which have believed. So when I really am believing God, and the way I believe Him is fill myself up with His Word, and when do you need to do this? Well, right when the trouble comes. Then we start... No. You need to be filled in advance. Say in advance. In advance. We need to get the advance working on this. That's why we read through the Bible. I'm not reading through the Bible so I can tell everybody, well, I read through the Bible again this year. I've read through it about 400 times now. You know, don't be impressed by that. Because I can tell you, a lot of the times I read through it, I didn't get much out of it. I was reading for speed. Getting it done, right? Well, I want to tell you what we do. We read the Word so that the Word will fill us up and make us different. Word's alive. What do I need? I need that kind of life in me. So I read it to get that life in me. And when I've got that life in me, then when the bad times come, I've told the story about sticking my hand in a log splitter. That is not an act of faith. Don't do it. I didn't do it by faith. I did it by accident. And sometimes we have accidents. I'm having fewer of them, praise God. But I stuck my hand in a log splitter. I got it in the backside where the butt plate caught the log. I laid one down like this, and always lay them down like this. Don't lay them down like this. Lay them like this. See, I can train you how to do that. But I laid it in there, and my brother-in-law brought the blade in just as I did. Caught my fingers right across here. Three of them. And I'm telling you what, if you're moved by what you see, you will be moved to nausea by that. That was a nasty appearance. It just absolutely mashed three fingers. They were so flat. Have you ever stepped on a hot dog? That's what it looked like. They were split wide open. This one, you can still see a little scar here. There was a piece about an eighth of an inch thick of skin that was holding the end of the finger. It was laying off to the side. And my brother-in-law said, "Oh, man!" And I said, "It's going to be all right." Now listen to me. I want you to understand now, this is not because I am a great man of faith and power. This is because the Word of God was in me. Are you listening to me? The Word on the inside of me welled up immediately when I needed it. And I said, "It's going to be fine." And he says, "Well, I think you better go inside." And I said, "Well, I'll go along with that. I'll go inside." I went inside, and actually I went into the emergency room, and they put stitches down here and down here and put the end back on. And they told me, they said, "You may not have much use of those fingers. They may not work too well, and you'll probably never get the nails back. But you see," I said, "it's going to be fine." As I walked in the house, I said, "Father, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. I thank you that you took my infirmities and bare my sickness. I thank you that you've sent your word to heal me. I thank you, Father, that the word of God is alive in me." I remember the word of God just coming out of my mouth, and it was all with praise. It was all with praise. I don't remember ever saying, "Oh Lord, please heal." I don't remember doing that. I can't absolutely say it, but I just remember just talking the word of God. We went in, and immediately the healing power of God was at work in those fingers. And you can see, I have, in fact, I think maybe this hand's a little bit freer than this one. It's good. See? What was that? Well, that's because I had been filling myself with God's Word. And so when pressure came, any of you have toothpaste? How do you get it out? Unless you have one of those fancy machines. How do you get toothpaste out? Squeeze it. Well, I've definitely been squeezed. And when I got squeezed, something good came out. Praise God. And that's the rest I'm talking about. Resting. I've told about Kathleen. Kathleen's the one that had the toxic shock. I went to Denver knowing she was really sick. I had prayed for her in that morning. I had believed God as I prayed. When the doctors told us she's got to go into Children's Hospital. We think she has toxic shock syndrome. We've got to get her down there. Her blood pressure's 40 over zero. My heart said, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be fine," because I prayed for her and I spoke words over her. And the Word of God says that she's healed by the stripes of Jesus. The Word of God says that Jesus Himself took her infirmities and bore her sicknesses. The Word of God says that she's going to be alive and well. And sure enough, she was and she is. But it was confirmed that she actually had toxic shock and got over it overnight. I said she got over it overnight. How does that happen? By the Word of God, by the power of God. Faith is a rest. Faith is a rest. Faith is what will allow you to walk in to a person's hospital room and see them laying there in a coma and not be freaked out by it. And you begin to speak the word over them. Faith helps you, Kim, when you see someone that you love so much under the attack of the enemy. But you just continue to say it. Would you like to say it with us? You mind if everybody says it? Say, "Sarah,
Sarah.
Will live and not die,
and
declare the works of the Lord." Say it again.
Sarah
will live and not die
and
declare the works of the Lord. Boy, do you feel a rest? Do you feel the exuberance? Do you feel the welling up of the Spirit of God because we're speaking His Word? Amen. Amen. When you see something that's so bad, when the telephone rings at 3 a.m., any of you ever have that happen? As anybody hadn't. Well, remember, the Bible says, "His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He will not fear evil tidings." Wow. What a God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Say, "I'm trusting
and
resting
in
the finished work of the Lord Yeshua." It's nice, isn't it? You know, we get a reminder every week if you celebrate Shabbat. You get a reminder every week of what it's like to enter into rest. And we oftentimes, when we come together here, I have everybody fold their arms and go, you just cease from your own labor and just let the love of God surround you. Our greatest goal is the manifestation of glory. Our greatest goal is just to let God be God. And when we meet together, that's a real highlight. Why is that? Well, see, God said He was going to do something with the tabernacle. Exodus 29:43, He says, "There will I meet with the children of Israel." Well, we already said that we're the tabernacle. Where is He going to meet with us? Right here. Right here. He says, "There will I meet with them, and the tabernacle shall be set apart, sanctified by My
glory."
By My
glory.
So the glory of God is manifest in us. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us, and God's setting us apart by that glory. We just haven't been letting it take its place in us. We already said we're the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know? I can see Paul. Don't you know you're the temple of God? Don't you know God dwells in you? Can you see that? Man, that's what happens when you meditate the Word of God. You get more than just words. You get facial expressions. Amen? You get to see. You know, I see directions when I meditate. I actually meditate when I see the temple of God. You see, the temple faced out toward the east like that. And the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel, that the water is going to start flowing out from under the altar. I can see that. I can see it. The water comes flowing out, and it says it goes out, oh, I can't remember just how far it is. I think it's like a third of a mile or something like that, way out over here, and it says it's still only up to your ankle. But if you go out another third or fifth of a mile, it gets up to your knees. Pretty soon it gets up to your loins. But you know what? If you get out far enough, the Bible says then there was water for swimming. I can see that. And it says trees start growing along. In this old, arid, Dead Sea region, trees start growing. And life starts coming out from under the temple. Where's the temple? I said, where's the temple? Where's it coming out? Oh, Jesus said, living water. Living out of their bellies shall flow living water. That's us. That's glorious. And if you can't get excited about that, we need to have a dead raising service around here. Now I'll tell you something. This is finishing this up today, but here's the thing we need to recognize. Everybody say, I'm going to corral my flesh. That's rodeo talk. It's too bad Ashley's not here. She wanted to go to the rodeo. We're going to corral our flesh. We need to corral the flesh. Because you want to know what happens when the glory starts? In manifestation? Boy, I don't know. You haven't been in a lot of places. This church is kind of novel for Pentecostals. Isn't it? Redeemer was pretty... did it get up a lot of stuff? You did it
years ago.
Yeah. Was there a lot of stuff got a little wild beyond, or what did they? Lou was always pretty good about holding things. I've been in some places. Let's just put it this way: Pentecostal places where I mean things get out of order. Why is that? Well, it's because the glory comes and people don't know how to act in the glory. In the flesh. Oh, listen. My flesh, your flesh, doesn't make any difference whose flesh it is. All flesh is flesh. Flesh likes to get to be in the center of things. I've seen people pull some things you wouldn't believe. And I've been in some pretty, strongly pastored places. But still people try to pull some stuff. The flesh always wants the center ring. Even in feigned humility. Did you ever think about that? Somebody said, oh no, I'm quite quiet. I'm shy. That's still flesh. I said, that's still flesh. 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 What'll flesh do? Well, one of the things I found out it'll do is it'll take credit for an answered prayer. Now, listen to me and think about it a little bit. You pray, it gets answered, and we say, I prayed and prayer works. Wow, look at me, I prayed. Now, you don't say it just that way, but sometimes it rises up a little bit, see? And I, you know, as I was listening and thinking about this week, I got to thinking about this church. We used to have a graph here. It may have been a little taller. Yeah, I guess it was taller than that. And it had like $110,000 on it. I guess we didn't put it up until it was $82,000. Because we paid for this church after I became pastor. We paid off $110,000 and something in debt, right? Is that right, Dan? And the Lord began to deal with me about the way we've talked about that all this time. We had this graph up there because after 5 years, we still owed $82,246. And we owed a balloon. So what do you do when you got a balloon of $82,246? You borrow again, right? And I told Dan, I says, Dan, it seems to me like, because the payment went down a little then, you know. I said, it seems to me like we're going to be doing this for a long time. And Dan said, yeah, you are. But he said, here's what we were paying. We were paying $1,300 a month. He said, if we paid $1,830 a month, we could pay this $82,246 off in 5 years. Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, but that sounds better than going on forever, right? And so the church got behind it. We began to do that. So we put up this deal, and with a ribbon, it'd go up and, you know, come down, you know, and as we raised the money, and I don't remember exactly how it worked, but it was up there before us all the time. And I'm not against those kind of things. But as I've talked about this so much, I've talked about how this congregation paid off $82,246 in about 3 years and 7 months, I believe it was.
Wow.
Because look at us. And the Holy Spirit started saying to me, do you remember when I did that? Do you remember how you've talked about it? But you know, the fact is, there wasn't a rich person in the church. We didn't have rich people. This was people sacrificing, all right. But what were they sacrificing? That which God had provided. And He provided more than enough. And you know, we didn't hardly mention God did that. It was about this congregation did it. Have you ever said, well, I birthed so-and-so into the kingdom of God. You know, I prayed for them and they got saved. Oh, really? How about grandma and grandpa that prayed for them before you did? You know, Henrietta and I started going together. She wasn't saved. I'd been saved, but acted worse than she did. But when the Lord got a hold of me, you know, man, I changed instantaneously. I mean, I really changed. Well, she was looking at me saying, what in the world is going on? And of course, being a quiet thing like I am, I hardly said anything more than every other second to her, you know, about how she needed to get saved and come to the Lord. And, well, you know, so, you know, if you think about it, it kind of looked like I was doing all of this. But you know what? God was doing a work in her, doing a work. And when I really think back on it, you know, my love was just a little piece, because that's what the Lord finally told me, quit preaching, start loving. And boy, I just did. I really started loving her. But you know what? She still, when I went into the hospital to be operated on for cancer in 1967, last few days of September, I went into the hospital. Henrietta's starting trying to pray. She had never surrendered to the Lord, but she gets down and she begins to pray for me. She said, I'm sitting beside the bed, or I'm kneeling beside the bed, and I'm praying, and I'm praying for you, and I'm praying, oh God, heal Terry, take care of Terry, don't let Terry die. She said, God spoke out loud to her. How many of you can say you've heard that? I've only maybe once or twice had something that sounded like a voice, you know. She said, he said, Terry's all right. How are you?
Oh, wow.
And she said, boy, right at that moment, I went, I surrendered. And that was it. So you see, yes, my prayer had something to do with it. Somebody else's prayer had something to do with it. Someone's testimony had something to do with it. But there's a lot of things. But who brought her into the kingdom? I sowed. Somebody else watered. God. gives the increase. So when we begin to see the glory of God, and I watch churches, you know, go through times of revival, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about, well, look what's going on at Living Word. Wow, did you hear what's going on down in Brownsville? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about the Toronto revival? Oh, they've got revival going on up there. You know what? People forget about the God that's bringing the glory. They begin, well, what's the pastor doing down there? What kind of a ministry does he have? And so the ministry starts, you know, ministers start traveling all over the United States. That's not what's bringing revival. In fact, I heard a pastor one time in Denver. He had a little church all of his life. Been in this little church, and all of a sudden the place just started to burst open. And they said, "Brother, what did you do?" And he said, "The truth is, I don't know." He says, "I haven't prayed anymore. I haven't studied anymore." He says, "I don't know what's happened. God's done it." And I thought, boy, now that's what revival ought to look like. That's what revival ought to look like. That's the way it ought to be. Don't get into that look at me thing. Even when we think about the United States, I don't know if you've ever been a snob about the United States. We live in the United States. Well, you know, we need to remember where this freedom came from. Don't we? I'm thankful for our troops, but I want you to know our troops are not what made this nation free. I know some people don't like to hear, but that's a fact. If it hadn't been for the favor of God, George Washington would have drowned in the Delaware. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And it could be gone just as quickly. If we don't give Him glory and give Him the credit for it, we need to sanctify the Lord, our national favor. Yeah, God moves through me and people get healed. But that's exactly what it is. God spoke through a donkey. I say God spoke through a donkey.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to get into a place where there's pride about it. In fact, most often when God really uses it, sometimes it's like being the donkey. You get beat for it, right? It's a fact. Sometimes, you know, people don't like what they hear. So whether it's answered prayer, being led by the Spirit, hearing words from God, let's remember to give Him the glory for it. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And by the way, I think that I hear a lot of that around here, giving glory to God. That's what we need to do. Listen, why? Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name." What did he really say there? He said, "Ani Yahweh." Ani is I am. Ani. I am Yahweh. That is my name. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 48:11 says, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." You better know that God means it. You better know that that's a fact. He won't do it. But people, when God begins to move, want to jump in to the manifestation. They want to jump in and try to control it. Leviticus 9:22 tells us the story of after the tabernacle was built. They had it all erected. It says, "Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and he blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings." They've got all of these offerings laid out on the altar. Think about this now. "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Now that was a lot, right? Right there, that was a lot, what we've gotten to. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Have you got verse 24 up there yet? Look at verse 24. "The glory has appeared," but then all of a sudden, God comes down and actually takes that offering. Think about it. Here's all of these pieces of the sacrificial animals laying on the altar. All of a sudden, the fire comes down out of heaven. You see the fire come down, and when the fire goes back up, there's nothing on the altar anymore. It's gone. God picked up His own offering. Is that a manifestation of glory?
Amen.
Is that a manifestation of glory? Yes. Tremendous manifestation of the glory of God. And who was the center of attention? I said, who was the center of attention? God was the center of attention. God was the center. And that ends right at the end of the ninth chapter ends like that. But you know, we know that that wasn't really written in chapter and verse. And so immediately in the tenth chapter, we see something happen. And if you think about it, you know this story very well. The two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Here's the power of God, the glory of God's in the place. Here's these two guys, they're dressed up, you know, they're there to serve with Aaron. They're dressed up and they're watching all of this happen. And it said, you know, the people, most often when that happened, they fell on their faces and praised God. These guys immediately pick up, what does it say? Censers. Took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Was there any command about that? Did God say do anything when this happened? As a matter of fact, when the glory of God appears, it's time for us to quit ministering. Are you listening? It's time for us to quit what we're doing. Just stop what we're doing and let Him do what He's doing. God was the center of attention. Everybody's eyes were fixed on God. Nadab and Abihu grabbed their censers. God didn't command it. And they get some fire in and they say, we got some different. We need to do something. We need to get in the center of attention. We need to be seen. We had something to do with this. We got to let the people know that we had something to do with this revival, right? One fellow I was listening to said, yeah, they became crispy critters. Because that's what it says, doesn't it? It says, they took fire and put them in their censers and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. He had never said anything about it. That means it's strange fire, means they didn't have instructions to do it. Verse 2 says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. Well, that's a horrible thing. Somebody said, that's just awful. But listen, it doesn't say they went to hell. Are you listening? It didn't say they went to hell. It said that something happened when they disturbed this manifestation. Listen, I believe you could go over here today and you know, take an extension cord, take the ends off it, peel the ends, stick one in each ear and go plug it in. I believe you could do that and it probably would kill you. You probably wouldn't go to hell for doing that, unless you intended to kill yourself. You'd just be stupid, right? You'd just be stupid. And you'd die with an afro, right? You'd have this frizzy hair. You see, I believe you could do that and not go to hell, but you know, you're tampering with power. And I believe, in fact, that's exactly what it says. The fire went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, just like the fire was coming out to take the offering. I don't think God was mad. I think they just got in the wrong place. I think they crossed the power. I think it was a short circuit. That's what I believe. But you see what they were doing? Their flesh was getting into it. That's what drew them into this kind of thing. You say, well, that was Old Testament. I'm sure glad that God doesn't do things like that anymore. Well, I am too. But you know, have any of you ever read about Ananias and Sapphira? Was that in the Old Testament? I said, was that in the Old Testament? What were they doing? Somebody said, well, that was a totally different thing. No, think about it. Think about what they were doing. See, offerings are all typical of what we do before God. We still offer up offerings today, don't we? Sacrifices of praise. We offer up our bodies a living sacrifice. We still do that today. Ananias and Sapphira brought their money in. Said, we sold our property and look here. So Ananias lays down the money. What happened to him? Peter said, well, is that it? Is that what you sold it for? Yep, that's it. Every bit of it. Falls right down dead in front of him. What was that? Is that God judging him? Maybe. I personally believe he just short-circuited the power of God again. Why? Flesh. Center of attention. Wanted to be in the... Didn't that what they... Can't you see that's what they wanted to do? They wanted everybody to think, we really are hooked up here. We really are powerful in this ministry. But you see, what it ended in was death. It ended in death. If you read the end of that story. It says, the fire came out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Verse 3 says, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Who's going to be in the center?
God.
Remember what he said? I'm not going to share my glory. I'm not going to give my glory to another. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before them, before all the people, not them, before all the people I will be glorified. So in believers, he's sanctified. But he will be seen before all the people in glory. So I want to say today, and this is, you know, we'll finish right about here, that we need to use great caution to keep self from becoming a focus. And self's insidious. Flesh is insidious. How many of you know that? Our flesh is insidious. Have you ever been just going along, just praying and loving the Lord, and have somebody cross you? And I've got to tell you, you know, I do this all the time, but a lot of times it's in traffic. I'll be praying in tongues and glorifying God and having a good time in the Spirit, and have somebody pull around me and cut me off, and immediately I get in the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? No, I'm sorry. I just have to repent before all. You see, it's easy for the flesh to rise up, isn't it? It wants to be seen. It wants to have its way. It wants, even in the glorious times, if we don't watch it, it wants to get right in the middle of things. Wants to get in the middle. And I, you know, you pray for me, because one of the jobs that I have here is to kind of, what? Yeah, kind of oversee, and, you know, it keeps me in the center. But you need to pray for me. And whatever you do, don't put me on a shelf. Say, how could we put you on a shelf? Well, if you get to honoring me too much, God will put me up there. You know, my honor is just in Him. And that's all I want. And I don't want you to think, well, Pastor Terry gets prayers answered. Listen, you get prayers answered just like I do. I don't want you to think that Pastor Terry is something great. I don't want you to get into that. I want you to be, you know, just one of you guys. I'm one of you. But, you know, I have a role of leadership. I have a place. Can I miss it? I said, yes, and I do. And I have to repent. And what I was saying here today about this graph, I repent for that. I'm so sorry, Lord, that we didn't give you all of the glory for that. Because, man, that's a miracle that we did that. We weren't able to do that. There was no way we were naturally able to do that. And you know, sometimes we get to thinking about, well, I gave this up for the ministry, and I've done that for the ministry. Listen, the only way I've done anything that's worthwhile is because of His grace, His mercy. You understand what I'm saying? So let's use caution. Let's not let ourselves be a focus in this time. This is serious business. It's not all right. It's not all right to do that. We love you, but it's not all right to do that. If we get into the flesh, it's not all right. We have to judge it, don't we? One more little quick verse, but it'll remind you that even people in great authority and in great favor miss it. You remember when Moses was in the wilderness? We just read this Torah portion recently in Numbers 20, verse 12. God told Moses, He said, Moses, you speak to that rock and I'll give the children of Israel water. Moses' flesh had it. Moses walked out and said, do we have to give you water? And he took the staff and he smote the rock again. And water flowed out. A great miracle happened in spite of Moses' disobedience. But God comes to Moses later and here's what he said. It's up on the board, I assume. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. What did he say? Say it out loud all together.
If ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
This guy had gone 120 years of leading those people, or 40 years, but I mean he's 120 years old. Was he an elder? Was he well respected? Did God pay attention to his prayer? And yet, in the final analysis, he disqualified himself from entering in to the final glory of God, didn't he? Did he go to hell? No. I'm going to see Moses, I guarantee, in heaven. You're going to see him too. But you see, because you believed me not. I want to say to you today that the flesh and getting the flesh in the center is always a symptom of unbelief. And somebody can say, well, wow, that's heavy. Well, it's true. When we do that, whatever time we do that, we let the flesh come in, it's somehow because we are insecure in who we are in Christ. And we don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. The failure to sanctify God in their hearts was because of unbelief. Finally, 1 Corinthians 1:29 and 1 Peter 3:15. God says, no flesh. Say, no flesh. No flesh should glory in His presence. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us how we can keep that from happening. But sanctify. Oh, just make this a rule. That anytime something good happens, thank God. Yeah. Amen. Anytime something good. But sanctify, say it with me. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's see if you're ready. Give me an answer about why you have this hope, and just tell me why you have this. What reason do you have for this hope that's in you? Yeah, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about the Lord. You see, if we think about it, but that's what He means. Who are we giving glory to? Yes. Oh, amen. Just waving at Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Everybody born again here today, anybody that needs Jesus in their heart, had never made a commitment. You may have been around church all of your life. Listen, doesn't make any difference. Anybody that's not born again, you need to be born again. You can't go to heaven without being born again. You can't be good enough. Anybody? Everybody born again? Look at me and say, Pastor?
Pastor.
I'm born again.
I'm born again.
Okay, you know it.
Yeah.
Anybody doubt it?
Nope.
Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say this with me. Say, Father.
Father.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
Jesus, you are Yahweh.
Jesus, you are Yahweh.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That God raised Jesus.
That God raised Jesus.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Bible says that makes you saved right there. That's the only way. That's the only way. Say, is it over? That's salvation? Yes, that's salvation. Now, once you're saved, then the Bible says repent and be baptized. But, you know, you're saved now if you believe that. Just what you've said today. Amen? So, Father, we bless you today and we thank you for this. And, Lord, we so desire to see more and more waves of glory, waves of manifestation, waves of the goodness of God and the Spirit of God in the midst of us. We yield to you, Lord. We yield to you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you so much. We love you so much. We honor you. We honor you. We bless you. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And if you receive that, I want to tell you something's happened. Something has happened. The blessing of God is upon you. As you go forth from this place today, the blessing of the Lord goes in you. You'll walk out into the street and people will see you. People will recognize that something is going on in you. You'll have opportunities to minister to people you've never had opportunities to talk to before. You'll have opportunities to pray. God's going to lead you to places and people. God's going to lead to some of you to family members. And the wisdom of God is going to lead you and guide. The Holy Spirit is going to take you places that you've not gone hitherto, but you will go. And you will go in power. And you will go in anointing. And truly that anointing that destroys the yoke and lifts the burdens is in you. And you will go forth. People will see you. But they will not look at you. They will look at Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.